Right, good morning, Carmel. You're listening to Off the Wall Live on WHJE. I'm Maggie Paul, and I'm here with Jack Missler, J.D. Arlen, and of course our superintendent, Dr. Wall. We're going to start off today with the news headlines. Jack?
Thanks, Maggie. Dr. Wall, good to have you this morning.
Good morning.
Polls are in. It's been quite a weekend in the 2016 presidential field. I know it's a bit early, but gotta love talking about this stuff. The surprising things, Bernie Sanders took over Hillary Clinton in the ORNC poll. Sanders leading 43-33 with Clinton.
Right.
Clinton, obviously the front runner, coming up here. What do you think about that?
Well, it's been interesting since the New York Times released the whole, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but the reality that she had the private server. Mm-hmm. That thing has gone from moderately interesting to, there were no secure documents to there were some secure documents. And again, no one's accusing her of violating any laws per se. But the appearance is clearly problematic for her in public perception. And she finally went on ABC and apologized for doing that rather late, I must add.
Yeah, it was.
This has been, hanging around her for a couple months now.
Well, it seems to me that she dropped in polls and then the apology came out and she's back up on the rise. But still, Bernie Sanders, he started out as a pretty, out there mm-hmm. candidate, but now he's leading the Democratic Party.
It came out as independent. That's what he was in the Senate as. And then they're trying to change Hillary's image by making her more fun-loving and telling jokes. And
yeah,
I think the reality is you can only be who you are.
Yeah.
When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And I think that's going to be her struggle going into the next phase of this campaign.
Yeah, well, and also going off those polls, Donald Trump, quite the loud individual, but he is currently leading in every Republican poll that has been taken. Ben Carson generally following in second, followed by either Scott Walker or Jeb Bush.
Right.
Donald Trump, people thought of him as a joke, but he's now the second most likely person to be president in 2016. How do you think that's going to shape out?
Well, as we sit here today, that is accurate. He was on the Sunday shows yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it appears that he's appealing to those who are tired of the political jargon. Because clearly he's not politically correct. And clearly he's not following any script that you would put out there for a political candidate. And that's appealing to people because they're not hearing the jargony kind of thing, and he's very much direct, and I'm not suggesting that's the right way to go, but it appears that a large segment of our population is gravitating to that, and they like that. And the key is going to be, is there substance behind his, charismatic rhetoric? Does he have substance?
Yeah.
And that's the next phase of this campaign to see if he does.
Yeah, well, and, my question, I guess, would be, do you think as, Rick Perry was just now the first presidential candidate to drop out,
mm-hmm.
Do you think as more and more Republican nominees drop out, do you think we'll see Trump kind of dwindle, or?
Well, I think the key to that will be, where does the money go for those that are dropping out? Like, for instance, whoever was endorsing Perry, there was money behind that. Where does that money go now? Does it go to Jeb Bush? Does it go to Bernie Sanders? That, to me, is going to be very telling. And so I'd start following that as you see that field, narrow down from this vast field that we have.
Yeah.
All with campaign war chests. Who are they going to endorse now? And I think that will be very telling. If they start to follow Trump, then you'll see him be able to sustain. But in past elections, when those fields narrow down in the primaries, you see some people gain momentum. It could be a Jeb Bush because of the, family connection to other Republican supporters. So I think time will tell pretty quickly, though, because I think others will drop off in the next time we have a show. I guarantee there'll be fewer candidates than there were today.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely something I'm looking forward to as we go through this primary season. It'll definitely be an interesting one this year. My final point, I guess, for you is the Trump is obviously getting a lot of attention. He's a lot of people are eyes on him. How do you think that's panning out for the Ben Carson, Scott Walker, the number two seats who aren't getting as much attention? Do you think we're going to start hearing more from them as we go on, or do you think Trump's going to still hold?
Well, we might. I mean, Ben Carson made the circuit yesterday on Sunday morning shows as well. He has a different appeal. He's much soft-spoken. Obviously, comes with he was a brain surgeon on a number of corporate boards. I think the challenge for him is to be able to articulate his message and for people to gravitate to his style. But they're going to get more airtime. Like I said earlier, as that pool dwindles down, they'll get more opportunity in the upcoming debates and the upcoming Sunday morning talk shows to show who they really are. And it's going to come down to some substantive issues, foreign policy, economy, all those things. What do they have to say about that in a meaningful way?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That's all the headlines we have.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, but stay tuned for J.D. Arlen with our sports news coming up next. You're listening to Off the Wall on 91.3 WHJE. Here's Let's Be Still by Head in the Heart. Welcome back. You're listening to Off the Wall Live on 91.3 WHJE. We're going to talk about high school voters.
One thing I kind of forgot to talk about where we left off was student voters. A lot of, this election season is coming up. A lot of people are thinking about voting. A really big thing that I'm kind of passionate about is high schoolers voting. Carmel High School, we've got arguably 1,000 voters, not including staff, just students here who are eligible to vote, not only in 2016, but in these local elections. And we were talking in the break about how, a lot of students say, I don't vote because my vote doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Well, it does. And
absolutely.
I think, you can agree here that especially in these local elections, the last mayoral race, it was real tight. And the senior class could have changed who the mayor of Carmel is,
I'd echo your passion for that. I think once, our young student population turns 18, they should register to vote and be active participants and inform voters. I think once that habit starts at 18, it can continue on, because obviously we need a higher percentage of individuals to register to vote, and then of those that are registered to vote to actually vote. So I would strongly encourage all the students out there, when you turn 18, register to vote. Vote in your local elections where your vote is very meaningful, can make a difference, and does make a difference. And obviously take, participate in national and state elections as well.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to pass on over to JD with some sports.
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, definitely important to vote. I would agree. I'll be voting in the next presidential, which is exciting. But moving forward, big weekend in the world of sports, as you know. NFL season opening back up.
Yep.
Saw a lot of action, got a lot of fantasy points. But I think one thing that a lot of people saw, and something I want to focus on specifically in the NFL, is that Thursday night game of the Steelers versus the Patriots. And the number 12 jersey taking a walk into Foxborough.
Absolutely.
How does that affect the whole league?
Well, it's interesting that the segue, it follows, our encouragement to get 18-year-olds to vote. In the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, the commissioner has sole instrumentality to make decisions Commissioner Goodell's making. He can do that based upon the CBA. He even came out last week and said he would strongly encourage the owners to reconsider that language, because he is the sole arbitrator, even to the point that once a decision is made and it's appealed, it goes back to him for appeal, a decision that he made. So clearly they need to clean up that CBA. The Major League Baseball just recently finalized their collective bargaining agreement, and in that they have a impartial commission that will review any decisions made by the Major League Commissioner. So they have an impartial odd number, so they can have a justifiable arbitrative review of this. away from the commissioner's office. NFL needs to go that route.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. It certainly needs to change.
Because
at the end of the day, you see these commissioners making decisions. And just to bring up a couple with Goodell, the Rice decision, the Ray Rice decision, the Adrian Peterson decision, and now this one, it seems like it's building up and it's becoming a major problem.
It's taking away from the game.
Why are these getting overturned in court?
Well, I can't answer that from the federal judge's perspective, but in my opinion, it's a process problem. They don't have the right process in their collective bargaining agreement. And I can remember when that was ratified, where it said, you know, that there was one, you know, the commissioner had sole authority to make those decisions. That right away, you know, from my perspective as a superintendent, you never want to have a process that doesn't allow discussion, doesn't allow an appeal process, doesn't allow a thoughtful consideration for other opinions. And for them to get overturned, it really kind of makes you feel like we've got judge and jury, and who's really listening to these matters with a non-biased approach. But remember, at the end of the day, the commissioner, he has bosses, and they are the league owners.
Absolutely. Yeah, he is.
That's the boss.
And something that was brought up in a Sports Illustrated article that I was reading is that the role of the commissioner is to represent team owners.
Correct.
And now it seems like he is responsible for representing fan interests and player interests, which is a turn that you haven't seen in the entire history of the sport. And so on Thursday night, I'm sure you saw this, the Patriots' reputation once again coming crashing down. The Steelers' headsets for the coaches playing the radio instead of the calls. And every right. time they tried to signal to the referee, it would change. And I'm not saying that that was something that the Patriots did, but it's something that happened in their stadium. It could have been a fan. Right. It could have been somebody higher up. What is going to become of the Patriots' reputation after these past couple of weeks?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's already developed. I mean, one event doesn't make a reputation, but what people are doing, they're connecting the dots to, you know, the number of things that have happened, from the video violation that they did a couple years ago, and they were fined and lost draft picks because of that. Obviously, Deflategate. And now you sit there on Thursday night, and the Steelers head coach was very vocal about it after the game, saying, you know, these things happen, you know, in Gillette Stadium. So there's a trend. You know, Belichick said his headset was going out as well. But what I read in the New York Times yesterday, when NFL officials went down to turn the headsets off of the Patriots, because what is supposed to happen, when one headset goes down, the other team has to turn theirs off too until it's rectified. That's to make a level playing field. And the couple of times they walked down, the NFL reps walked down to the Patriots bench to turn them off, the Steelers headsets came back on and had clarity. So it just smells, you know. It just makes you kind of wrinkle your brow and go, you know, this doesn't need to always happen in Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, there's something going on. There's definitely a trend. But transitioning, not only a big weekend in the world of football, but also a big weekend in sports overall. The U.S. Open coming to a final for the men's and continuing for the women's. Fan favorite, American favorite, Serena Williams getting knocked out by an unranked Italian opponent after defeating her sister. What do you think the factor was that
well,
made her lose?
You know, it's tough to see. I think a lot of these things are emotional and mental, because very long season, obviously very emotionally charged, playing her sister. I don't envy either one of them to do that, having, you know, four brothers that played sports as well. I would never wanted to have to compete directly against one of them in the finals of tennis or anything else. So I feel for them to have to compete at that high level. And then the emotional letdown following that, that's tough to bounce back. You know, the game after the big game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, that was one of Coach Knight's references in his books, that it was always tougher to win, you know, the game after the big game than the big game itself. And I think some of that probably played on Serena as well, the mental part and the physical part, as well as the then champion announced that she's going to retire from tennis. So that's a pretty wild way to finish your career too.
Absolutely.
And decided a month ago that whatever happened, her final competition would be the U.S. Open. So congratulations to her to end her career like that.
Great season. Almost a calendar grand slam. That's all we've got for the sports segment today. Back to you, Maggie.
Okay, right after this break, we'll have our guest Drew and Connor on to talk about being Greyhound Kickoff Mentors, or GCOMs for short. Stay tuned to Off the Wall on WHJE. Here's Don't Gotta Work It Out by Fits in the Tantrums. You're listening to Off the Wall Live on WHJE. Today we have Drew and Connor on the show to talk about being Greyhound Kickoff Mentors, also known as GCOMs. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I just want to start out. Could you explain what GCOM is to our listeners?
GCOM is, it stands for Greyhound Kickoff Mentor, and it's basically to help freshmen, incoming freshmen, get acclimated to the high school. And what we do is, like, the Friday before school starts, we'll have Greyhound Kickoff, which gets, like, most of the freshmen come to school, and we just do some fun activities just so they get to know each other and things. And then periodically throughout the year, on some Gold Fridays, we will go during SRT and talk to them about how things are going and help them out if they have any other issues or concerns.
Cool. So why did you guys want to be a part of GCOM?
I wanted to be a part of GCOM because when I was a freshman, I had a really cool GCOM, and he, like, helped me, like, become, like, feel part of the school, and it was really nice to, like, have that connection before the first day of school, so it wasn't, like, terrifying to, like, walk through the halls. You saw the people with, like, the orange shirts and stuff, and it was, like, something, like, one constant throughout that day that was just, like, insane for you.
What do you think is the most, not important, but if I'm a freshman coming in here on a list of, like, top five things need to know, how do you focus this in for these young men and young ladies? Because, you know, many of them were in a high school or middle school about 1,300. So they walk in here and just about 5,000 students walk around. So you prioritize things you want them to know to alleviate any, you know, unknown stress. How do you do that?
Yeah, the biggest thing we do, like, something that we focus on is just, like, getting to classes. During the day that we're, like, all together and it's just the freshmen, we'll actually run each of our, like, individual freshman schedule so they know where to get. And so, like, that's one thing that they don't have to worry about on the first day of school.
Right.
And it's just, like, we try to, like, talk about the best ways to, like, deal with the cool things about high school, like SRT and, like, just how to get around and, like, to alleviate that stress.
Something that I would say, actually, was they don't actually, like, tell you what lunch you have on your schedule or anything. And when I was a freshman, I didn't know. So, like, that was one thing I was concerned about on the first day of school. So I made sure that my freshmen knew what lunch they had. And along with that, I'd say just pretty much getting them to understand that, yeah, it's a big school, but once you figure it out, it's not too hard to figure it out. And it's, like, pretty much the same thing as middle school, just a little bit bigger, at least your freshman year.
How do you make them aware of all the opportunities, activities, student activities, clubs, sports, organizations? Does GCOM talk to them about that as well?
Yeah, we actually have during the first GCOM session that we actually have during SRT, we have them all go to the lunchroom where they'll have, like, an activities fair pretty much, where all the clubs will have a booth or something, and they can go and, like, sign up to be part of clubs and get involved, or even just, like, ask questions, see, like, what this club's about or something, so they get into, like, something that allows them to have, like, a friend group or something.
Yeah, we really encourage at least, like, freshmen to join, like, at least one group. Like, it's really nice because in my GCOM room, we, like, each of the GCOMs is interested in a different thing, so, like, we're able to answer almost every question that the freshmen have about the clubs and stuff, and it's just, like, we really encourage them to get involved because that's the best way to make the school feel, like, more like it's your school, not a school.
Right. Did you have to go through any training yourself to become a GCOM member?
Yeah, in the spring, after they choose who's going to be a GCOM, after you, like, apply and stuff, we take a day out of school, and they do what it's called, like, breakout sessions at our training event, just to, like, go through some things, like how to help freshmen, just some activities you can do with them to get to know each other. And it's basically just a day getting to know also, like, the people who are going to be in your same SRT, like your other GCOM people.
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about GCOM Council and what they do for GCOM?
GCOM Council, I don't really know much about it, but I do know that they kind of, like, they organize, like, pretty much all the stuff that GCOM does. They come up with, like, ideas and make sure that everything's running the way it should be running.
Yeah, they're the brains behind the operation. They'll design the shirts. They'll tell the GCOMs, like, what they need to focus on, like, in each meeting with the freshmen. And just they're the people that have the idea was behind what we can do with the freshmen. It's really nice to have them as a place to go to for help.
What color was your shirt this year?
We had orange. Like, usually GCOM shirts are just orange just so it's easy to find in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Like, because we wear the shirts on the first 2 days of school. So if a freshman needs to know, like, where their class is or needs help with anything else, GCOMs are easily spotted. And GCOM Council, I think they had pink this year.
I think it's a great idea that you seriously do that the first couple days. And what was the slogan this year on the shirt?
May the frosh be with you.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was pretty clever as well. Who thought of that?
That would be the council
again.
Yeah,
GCOM Council.
The GCOM Council, pretty creative.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are, I don't know, juniors, seniors?
I'm a senior.
Senior.
Both seniors.
Got it. So you think GCOM's going to help you make some decisions about what you want to do as you look at your life path after Carmel High School? Has it prepared you in some ways that you maybe didn't think it would be prior to training last spring?
I'd say that I don't know that it really necessarily helps you in a specific career, but just like being a leader pretty much and helping others figure out their own issues, I think that's a good skill to have no matter what career you take.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to help others was a really cool part of being able to be part of this program. And it kind of, like, pushed me towards, like, the idea of working with multicultural people, and which is what I want to go into in college. And to find the connections between people that will help them alleviate stress. And I just like that idea.
In your testimony saying you had an interest to become GCOM because of your experience as a freshman really says a lot for the GCOM program in and of itself. So yeah, that's great.
Hey, well, thank you, Drew and Connor, for coming on. That's all we have today. So thank you for listening to Off the Wall live on 91.3 WHJE. Tune in 2 weeks to listen to our next show on September 28th. Thank you for listening.